Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Tis the season. It is a black and red Friday, and it's game night for the Sabres and the Leafs tonight. Welcome in on Sabres Live with Marty and Brian, and we have a second go-around, Buffalo-Toronto, within this very week. Sunday night, of course, in Toronto, it was a really good start for Buffalo, only to have it undone late in the second period, and ultimately a 5-3 loss that was followed by a loss against Montreal, and now they're staring at a Toronto team that is once again pretty darn hot, and the boost that Buffalo hopes to get tonight is from Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah, we're hoping to get a boost from Rasmus Dahlin. I don't know if you noticed what just happened, Duffer, as you were talking the intro. But you know, like when Razor sits on the chair on the set and the chair slowly goes down and it like is. So my microphone started to unhook itself from the table and start to drop and drop and slowly go down. And I just caught it on my lap, put it back up, forced it into the side, so I hope it's going to stay right there. So we had a microphone malfunction as the show was starting.
That's
and I
amazing.
Tried to hide
so,
it.
So, well, you did, clearly, or I was lost in my own eyes reflecting off of the camera, something to that effect. But that's hilarious because amidst my concert journey this year to see anything and everything everywhere, our good friend Jason Weiss, on our production.
Well, was my working partner yesterday, by the way, at Sleepy Heavenly Peace, like Sleep in Heavenly Peace. He was my workout part, my making beds partner. It was great.
So Weezy and I were in Rochester for a show, and one of the openers was one of my favorite bands, Mercy Union. And I don't take pictures a lot at shows, but I just wanted to capture just a portion, right? And so I got like the last minute of Mercy Union's like last song, and I'm filming it, and I'm kind of following Jared on, you know, the lead singer on stage, and I can hear Weezy next to me laughing, and I'm thinking, okay, this
what's
is
what's happening
odd.
Outside of
odd.
My viewing then, of the
yeah, but it was actually in my viewing area, but I didn't see it, and so the song ends, the show ends, I'm looking, I'm like, dude, what were you laughing? He goes, you didn't see the microphone disappear? And so I went back on the video, and Jared, the lead singer, he's like singing.
Like he's leaning in.
Because the mic went down. And then he just kind of ad-libbed and started like belting it out from the top of the front of the stage, right? I was the whole time, I'm just following him, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay.
Well, it's so like that, the movie, so
it's, it's hilarious video.
Yeah, it's like the movie Bohemian Rhapsody when Freddie Mercury is playing with Queen for the first time, but he can't get the microphone like to raise up, so he yanks it out. And so they say in the movie, that's why he kept using the microphone with just the bar hanging down and walked around with it, because that happened. I don't know if it really happened, but anyway, my microphone is good now.
Where are you setting the bar for Rasmus Dahlin tonight? And what is this plan for Dahlin on the front end of back-to-backs? Please.
So this is interesting because Lindy Ruff said they have a plan on how they're going to manage Rasmus Dahlin coming back after missing 7.5 games, really, because he missed the third period of the Colorado game, really.
Seven.
And Seven, officially seven. I keep saying there was a significance to him missing the last period of the Colorado game because it fell apart and it's been struggle since. But I don't know, and we talked about it yesterday, I don't know that Rasmus Dahlin wants to be told we're going to manage you in this game. He understands the importance of it. He's the team's captain. Toronto is in the building. They've lost 11 in a row. Like, I think if you go to Rasmus and say, take a couple of minutes here and you'll get back in a little bit, he's going to say, yeah, right, I'm going on the ice. So, you know, it's one of those where you have the best laid plans, and as soon as the puck is dropped, that goes out the window. I think Dahlin plays a ton. I think Dahlin is going to play a ton of minutes. If the game is close, or listen, if the Sabres are up by 3-4 goals or down by 3-4 goals, like, you don't have to push him. But I think if the game is competitive and close, he's playing a ton of minutes. That's how I see it happening.
You don't think there's any way that the plan means he's not playing tomorrow?
Ooh, I didn't think about that. No, I don't think that means any of that. I think that means more like, okay, well, maybe it's a 22-minute night, and we're going to rely on Samuelson and Power a lot more.
Well,
and
that's
on
another,
Clifton, that's another really interesting thing
here is like, okay, we get it. The captain is back. Give him 25 minutes. That's normal.
Yeah.
But what about the rest of this group right now? And I'm going to maybe lift Byram out of the equation because I think we all understand the workload that got placed on him. And it's almost impossible to evaluate based on how the entire team went during this last 11 games, right?
Yes.
Like, would you have want, like, Bo's goalless in 9 games, right? Yeah, it would have been great if he'd scored a couple of times in the absence of Dahlin. But he had a lot on his plate. He ended up having a lot of, you know, different matchups and partners and all the rest of it. But I guess what I'm saying is, what can the rest of the group bring outside of Byram and beyond Dahlin's return?
Well, what they need to do is everybody, and I'm going to focus on the group of six on defense, but it has to become such an important part of the game. So you're going to have to start to defend. You're going to have to start to, like, lock things down. Like, you look at the last, yeah, I'm going to go backwards, right, from the Montreal game. 6-5-4-3, 6-5-3-5-3-4. I mean, this is 10 games out of the 11-game losing streak, and you just give up way too many goals. And so is this all because Dahlin's not there? No, it's on everybody else having to play at a much higher level. But now that Dahlin is back, if you are Bo Byram, if you are Matthias Samuelsson, Owen Power, anybody that's dressing on the blue line saying, hey, we have to be good tonight. Like, we have zero excuse now. We cannot go out there and give up 4, 5, or 6 again. Like, we're not going to win if you give up 4, 5, or 6 in a way. Like, you could, but now the last 11 games have shown that, well, it's not a recipe for success. The recipe for success is you're getting good goaltending, you lock it down, and maybe you get to 3, maybe you get to 4. Winning 3-2, 4-2, that's the way to go. And that hasn't been the case. So I think that, yeah, there's a lot on Dahlin's shoulder. But if I'm Byram and Power, mostly those two, but the group of six, I'm looking around, I'm like, we have to be good. Like, now our captain's back, our stud defenseman is back, and we have to help him, but we have to be good now. Like, enough is enough. We have him back, and we have to be good.
Do you think, despite, like, it's something you wouldn't have said in the offseason because a roster comes together and more often than not, you kind of slot things according to contracts, right? Like, you know where a player is on your depth chart based on what you've signed him to and for how many years, right? You think there's a lot of defensemen right now in the Sabres that feel like they're in the exact same place? Like, not knowing where they fit? Because uncertainty comes when you don't win, right?
Yes.
And then uncertainty can also come from feeling like maybe some of them individually feel like, I'm not having a great year.
Every game is a different group of six or pairings. And
injuries,
like, right now, it's
come
Samuelsson
into play
with
again,
Power.
Right? Like, in Samuelsson's case, he ended up missing time, right? Like, I'm just really curious. Like, it's one thing to say what you need and want, like for the player to say that and for us to sit here and say that about the player. I'm you know, and there won't be any, you know, there's obviously no roster movement again until December 28th. The roster freeze is in effect here in the NHL. We never really talked about the minor trades in the NHL this week, but that's fine. You get the idea. I'm just really curious. Like, if you're going to go back to, like, the reality of the situation is there is just a ton of opportunity for anyone within this backline group to step up and say, I can be a top four player on this team.
Yeah. Right?
Like, the door should feel open
for
somebody to
come in.
Right,
the door
right.
is open. I mean, you know that Darlene Power and Byram are your top four, right? But
brief.
Like the door's open for somebody else. And now it's Matthias Samuelsson. But we've seen, obviously, Bryson play in an elevated role at some point. Mm-hmm. And the door was open for him after not playing for the longest time at the start of the season. And we saw Clifton in that role. We saw Joki Aho in that role. I saw
In that role.
Ryan Johnson in that role. You're
like, this
right.
is why I'm saying this. Like, to me, this is like, who's
out of
take
the
this?
Nine defensemen the Sabres have used this year, the only one that has not been in that role mm-hmm. has been Dennis Gilbert. And listen, mm-hmm. Gilbert is probably more of a third pair guy, and that's fine. And then now he's happy to be in the lineup and saying, I'm playing. I want to give an impact. But everybody else, the other eight defensemen, have had their turn in the top four at some point. And yesterday I was, you know, scrolling through, you know, social media and whatever, and some videos pop up. And it was the end of the Montreal Canadiens season in 94-95. Let's remember, that came after a lockout, right? There was a lockout. They mm-hmm. started in January. They played 48 games. And Jacques Demers was the coach of the Canadiens. He had won a cup 2 years prior to that. And he's talking about, well, they didn't make the playoffs. That was a terrible year. They had won three games on the road that year mm-hmm. out of the 24. Three yep. games on the road they won. And they're like, what happened this year? And he goes, well, when every night it's a different lines combination, different defense pairings. And he's like, it's hard. It's hard to be able to build consistency. And especially, you know, at that time, we're talking about the mid-90s, having to play hard matchups on the roads and all of that. Like, you don't know how your lines are put together. And there were so many guys in and out of the lineup. It's hard. I feel like that has been a struggle for Lindy Ruff up front, trying to find the right fit for the lines. But without Darlene, and even so, you know, over the last little bit here for sure, finding the right fit on defense. Right? Owen Power gets benched after a turnover against the Rangers game, comes back and plays great late in the Rangers game to mount a potential comeback in the third period. But as Owen Power have had the chance to play with the same partner and build that comfortable sense of, oh, I know who I'm with, and that's going to be good. Or Byram now over the last little bit here because Darlene's not there. It's been really hard and really challenging to find that right fit. But, you know, I look around the NHL, and that's like that too. And some teams are finding success that way. So it's not an excuse. It's definitely challenging, but it's not an excuse. They have to figure it out.
Shayna Goldman at the bottom of the hour, Darren Dreger in mere moments. It's Sabres Live. It's Buffalo-Toronto tonight, and Matt Murray expected to be in goal at the other end. What does that possess as far as a challenge for Buffalo? It really doesn't matter who's in net, let's be honest. I mean, there's an NHL goalie at the other end. You must score more than two, which has happened seven times in the last 11 games. You know, like that they've only scored two or fewer, so they need to be better. Matt obviously went through a challenging period late in his career here with injuries. Has not played it in the NHL since the end of the 2022-23 season and has actually only played in 11 AHL games since. Yeah. Including eight this year, which he has sparkling numbers with the Marlies. So what do you make?
All three Marlies goalies have had good numbers this year, but they've not played a ton of games because they've had the three goalie thing. Yep. I'm a little surprised by that. Dennis Eldeby just beat the Sabres last Sunday, and he'd been with the team all week. And you know you have a back-to-back Friday, Saturday. The Toronto Maple Leafs have the New York Islanders in Toronto tomorrow night. So you plan ahead, and you say, okay, well, what's the approach here, right? If I'm thinking Matt Murray's playing Friday night, I'm probably calling him up a day before, a day, like a couple of days before, get him practicing, get him ready, your plan.
Well, they were on the road in Dallas, though, so that was...
Yeah, well, maybe that's true, too. But, like, even at the morning skate today, Joseph Woll wasn't on the ice for the morning skate for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Right, but you just said it. They have back-to-back today and tomorrow. You know, like, this...
Yeah, but he's not going to skate tomorrow morning, right? Joseph Woll's not going to skate tomorrow morning,
He could take a little twirl, for sure.
He could take a little twirl, but I'm worried about the health status of a guy like Joseph Woll, who has had to deal with injuries throughout his whole career so far. And now he's the number one. Like, at first I thought, well, why not play Joseph Woll back-to-back games? You know what? Like, look at Linus Ullmark. Linus Ullmark, Ottawa's dealing with some injuries. He's been playing fantastic of late. He's 8-0-1 in his last nine. He's won his last seven starts. Like, he's played back-to-back. He played 3-4. He's been the biggest reason why Ottawa is where they are right now. So I'm like, okay. You have some goalie injuries with Stolarz. You have a stretch here, and then you have a Christmas break. You can play everybody. But now they call up Matt Murray to play this game. They send back LDB. I think there's definitely a big question mark here with the Toronto Maple Leafs in that. But what does that mean with Matt Murray? It's the same thing as last Sunday. Take advantage of early games. Like Jack Quinn scored on the power play. They took a 2-0 and 3-1 lead. Just don't fall apart. Like, don't stop with the way you're playing. And that's the biggest challenge for me. Get off to a good start, get to Murray, but keep going the same way. The Sabres have not been able to do that at all. They've lost a lot of leads in that 11-game stretch.
Do you have any feeling for any players offensively that are close? I know it's really hard to assess after the way that game went against Montreal, but you're still looking at a lot of players who need to get out of the funk that they're in. You know, like J.J. Paterka has one goal in 16.
Yeah.
Alex Tuch has one goal in 9, you know. Benson has one in 15. That's just the top of the list here, you know, as far as guys that, from a goal-scoring standpoint, could definitely... Like, Jiří Kulik's a quarter of the way into his first full NHL season. He doesn't have an assist yet.
Yeah.
Like, that to me is almost, that's hard to do.
That's hard to do. Like, you would think, like, even on the power play, with the power play hasn't worked.
Yes.
You know, you just get a secondary assist on breakout, right? You get the puck up the ice, boom, they score. You get a second. Linus Ullmark got a secondary assist last night on
great.
The game-winning goal.
Awesome. Like, what a play.
He made the save, made the play, and they go up the ice, and Tkachuk scores after losing a chicklet and getting, like, a bunch of stitches. But funny enough, I was doing some work yesterday, and I wanted to see where, like, Zach Hyman's having a bit of a push of late here. He's got 8 goals in his last 7 games since returning. And I wanted to see, okay, like, Zach Hyman is producing at a very good level and producing above expectation at a very nice level also because of, you know, it's been nice to see. Jack Quinn has produced at a high level getting chances since returning. Okay, let's keep Jack Quinn going.
Right.
But we have to have 89 and 77 jump on top of it too. Tuch and Paterka have to produce now.
Trusted Nurse Staffing and J.J. Paterka teaming up for a second year in a row for J.J.'s Jammy Drive. For this drive, we'll encourage fans to donate new and like new jammies to KeyBank Center on December 27th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. or purchase a pair of jammies to be sent to children in need through OLV Charities. Visit sabres.com/jammies to donate now. Darren Dreger is with us. Happy holidays, our friend. How are you?
I'm doing okay. It's nice. It's end of the week. We've still got some hockey to look forward to. We'll see what happens tonight. Buffalo-Toronto is always entertaining to get a hold of that and then drift into the holiday season. So does no your, complaints.
Does your brain go into a freeze when the roster freeze takes effect?
Kind of. Although more and more in the last handful of years, my brain has started to freeze up more often than not.
I'm in that club. I'd like to, or at the very least, like to be an honorary member of your club. Yeah. I feel you, Dregs. So.
So I look at, and all kidding aside, it is a bit of a reprieve, right? It's a reprieve for the players. They don't have to worry about trades. They don't have to worry about being demoted, any of that stuff. You know, the families involved here from an organizational perspective, right? Everybody gets a bit of a breather. So it's one of 3 times out during the year where I go, okay, I can relax. This time of year, the day after trade deadline, which is March 7th, so March 8th this year. And then July 2nd is always a big day in my house as well, the day after free agency. So, look, it's all fun, and we appreciate and enjoy doing it, but it is nice to not always have to peer over your shoulder.
Okay, but there was a few trades, Dreg. So trades were made when it seems like everybody was saying, oh, it's hard to make trades now, and the freeze is coming. Nobody's going to move. The big one was Kaapo Kakko to Seattle, and our good buddy Will Borgen, friend of the show, goes to the Rangers. Here in Buffalo, we all know Will Borgen. He started here, got picked by Seattle in the expansion draft. Some people are even saying, that would have been maybe a good fit for Buffalo. Was Seattle only making that deal if it was Kaapo Kakko? Like, there was nothing really Buffalo could have done to inquire or acquire a player like Will Borgen, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that. But what I do know is, or I'd be very surprised if there was a connection between Kevin Adams and Ron Francis, and that's a big if. If there was a connection, then I would suggest that there had to be a lack of interest one way or another. One thing I do know is that, we keep talking about the big trade, the top players that the Buffalo Sabres may be willing to part with, but the fact that they want good return, they want top players coming back the other way. And the definition of Kevin Adams' version of a top player on an opposing team as compared to the general manager of that team might be a little bit different. So you're not necessarily trading apples for apples. And that's, I think, what's complicated things from a Buffalo perspective, and goes back to what Adam said several days ago. We're not making a trade for the sake of making a trade. We're not panicking. So I don't know that there was communication between Francis and Adams. I'd be surprised if there wasn't. But one thing I know about Ronnie Francis, he does not do business publicly in any way, shape, or form. So we may never know, unless Adams is the one that comes forward and says, hey, I made the call and that player wasn't available. But it does feel, I think people were maybe a bit surprised that Kaapo Kakko got traded. Not me. I wasn't surprised. I mean, we didn't link Kakko to the Seattle Kraken, but I can remember talking about this possibility dating back to last trade deadline before that, then to the offseason. And now, based on how poorly things have gone in New York, it got elevated. So I do know that Drury shopped Kakko, and I know that he wanted to push him to the West, and the teams that he talked to, there just wasn't the right fit, right? Either the picks weren't there, or they wanted too high of a pick because the player that those teams were willing to give up back to the New York Rangers wasn't quite adequate. So there were lots of scenarios. So, I mean, how he landed up in Seattle, I guess that's between Drury and Ronnie Francis. But I'd be surprised if Adams wasn't involved in some way, shape, or form with Seattle.
Well, what else did you unearth on the trade rumor front?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free. ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
La, 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 Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Before the freeze went into effect, like Nashville, yeah. Oh my gosh, like another stunning blowing of a game last night against Pittsburgh, right? Like I don't know how to describe them right yeah. now. Like they keep finding ways to lose. And
yeah. So. And Barry Trotz, you know, God love him. He continues to preach positivity and sell hope. That's what he's doing, right? And, you know, the fan base there thought that that was behind them when they went out and did what they did in the offseason. Mm-hmm. But it was a yesterday, day before, he talked about how Andrew Burnett has changed things. So there's a different philosophy now that they're trying to employ. The mm-hmm. structure, the approach, the attack, all of that is different. They're trying to tweak it to kind of build around what they already have. And then you see a game like last night, okay, well, I don't know that we thought that there'd be an immediate turnaround, but there needed to be some form of response to that, and there wasn't. And even the Alexander Carrier trade is a bit of a head-scratcher just based on the fact they recently extended this guy, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Trotz, again, acknowledged that they're not going into a rebuild mode, which they're not. You can't when you've got players signed to contracts that they have. But they are going into a building-on-the-fly type of mode. And so they send Carrier to the Montreal Canadiens, and they get Justin Barron back. Really, the only benefit I see to Nashville in this trade, and I don't know, I mean, Barron might turn out to be a heck of a defenseman at some point in his career. Mm-hmm. But the benefit now is that they save some money and they save some cap space. That's Nashville. And in Montreal's perspective, they're probably looking at it and going, okay, well, this guy's got some experience, and now we're going to be a little bit more open, maybe a bit more flexible in looking at some of the interest that will be in David Savard and Mike Matheson. So it certainly makes sense from Montreal's standpoint, and maybe less so from Nashville's.
What about Vancouver Canucks? And just because there seems to have been some chatter and rumor mill about Buffalo, Vancouver, and now that the freeze has happened, is it a let's put a pin in it? Is it real? Is it not real? Like, what's going on with Vancouver and Buffalo specifically?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one to nail down because you're getting denials, especially from one side, from Vancouver's side, right? And denials maybe to the bigger conversations and the bigger form of speculating that was done recently. And you're talking about, you know, some of the top-end guys in Buffalo and one top-end guy in particular in Vancouver. So, you know, when you get that form of denial, normally you trust, you know, the sources involved here and go, okay, well, if there was any communication, it must have been just pie in the sky or very basic. So what I can tell you I know is that Vancouver is grinding the league looking for a top four defenseman. And I think I remember having this conversation with you guys earlier in the season on the show, and we were looking at Bo Byram as an example and wondering, okay, contractually, you know, given where things are with Buffalo, you know, that's an area that Kevin is going to have to consider at some point this season. Could he eventually be a player in play? And, you know, I think other media picked up on that. And honestly, I think that's where the speculation started to grow legs and develop. Well, guess what happens then? You know, teams start calling. And again, you're the Vancouver Canucks. You're looking for a top four defenseman. Why wouldn't you call Adams, you know, and the Buffalo Sabres and make sure that you're in line if or when Adams wants to make a change on his blue line? And if it isn't Bo, maybe it's somebody else in that defensive core. But I know that the Vancouver Canucks are all over the league trying to add a defense.
What do you make of Vancouver, though, right now? I mean, they're in, but they're only a point ahead of Calgary. They're only three ahead of surging Utah. So, it's been an interesting year, but difficult week for Vancouver. They just lost last night with only one goal scored against Vegas. They lost the night before in Utah, 3-2 in overtime. So offense has been a little challenged, to say the least.
Yeah, and really it's been a wildly inconsistent year. And I don't think that many of us thought that was going to be the case after last season. Mm-hmm. I thought that Rick Tocchet had this team rolling in the right direction, playing the game that he wants them to play. He was able to push all of the buttons. I think most of us thought that Elias Pettersson would have a real statement sort of rebound this year. You know, some even kind of muttered the idea of him being in the heart conversation prior to the start of the regular season. Well, he's not that. I mean, he just came through a stretch where JT Miller was on the sideline with a leave of absence. And look, I mean, Pettersson was pretty good. He's playing decent hockey. At least he was playing productive. And he's been less so since JT Miller has come back. And then you look at Brock Besser not doing what they need him to do. And, you know, Höglander hasn't been offensively effective, and on it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the one thing that they have consistently is the play of Quinn Hughes, who is an absolute rock star back there. Amazing. And now they've got Thatcher Demko back. JT Miller is back healthy. And, you know, he's kind of leading that team into the fight one more time. But honestly, I think Rick Tocchet, his coaching, is behind off, because there's been so many areas that he's had to pay attention to that he probably didn't expect to have to invest time worrying about, but the response hasn't been consistent enough. So, hey, we know Jimmy Rutherford, Patrick Galvin plays by the same sort of game plan. Those guys are going to find something. They're going to bring pieces in, or a piece in that's going to make a difference in the near future, I would think.
Well, on that note, we get to say peace out.
Peace out.
Awesome. You're talking pieces in. We got to go in that direction. And peace and happy holidays, of course, to you, Dregs. We'll hopefully see you next week.
I think so. We'll see how it plays out.
Have a great holiday break, Dregs. A great holiday break.
Yeah, same to you guys. Have a good holiday.
Oh, you said good. You got to say great.
Well, there's only so many times Duffer tolerates the word great. You said it, so I can't. We're on a quota here.
It's a great time of year, Dregs. We'll see you soon. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are recipients of the gift known as Shayna Goldman. Once again, here is the holiday season rolls on. From The Athletic. Great to see you, Shayna. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great after that intro. I mean, my goodness, this is the real gift, getting to do this.
Well, I know you got reacclimated with our old friend Jeff Merrick this week, so I got to do my best to keep winning you over so you know, gravitate more to Sabres Live than the sheet. No, but honestly, happy that Jeff is back doing everything that he loves. And I was just thinking, as you guys were talking during commercial break, like, let's spread the holiday cheer here and give praise and or presents to those who deserve it. And I'm sitting here this morning thinking, you know who deserves some love? Julien Brisebois and Tampa. Like, you know how hard it must have been to make that decision to move off of Steven Stamkos? And here they are, the only team in the NHL averaging 4 goals per game, and they've won 4 in a row. They've dealt with injury. They seem to be looking pretty good. I'm not gonna crown him yet.
No, but I am.
Are you?
Hold on. I will add to this. We've had to do like our predictions. Who's going to go to the Stanley Cup final? From day one, I have said Tampa Bay is going to the Stanley Cup final. There's something about this team that they just know how to win. And I want to give a lot of credit in one direction and kind of not give that holiday cheer at the other direction. Because you look at Nashville and Tampa Bay. Mm. And I love Nashville's offseason. So I have egg on my face too. I totally get it. But two decisions. Tampa decided to move away from Steven Stamkos for Jake Guentzel. And while Steven Stamkos means everything and more to that organization, his 5-on-5 game has been declining. And you don't want to just bet on someone for power play production, especially if you feel that he has holes in his game. They made the decision to move on, and Nashville went for him, and look what happened. The other one that I can't talk about enough is the return of Ryan McDonagh, because I think we underestimated just how good McDonagh is, and I understand why Tampa moved him in the first place. Defensemen don't age well, but you look at how good he is and what a stabilizing force he's been to Tampa Bay, and also how hard of a time Brady Shea has had filling his shoes, and you go, what a move. I mean, Tampa Bay has a great top four.
Well, I love that Brisebois was able to say, you know what, maybe we let McDonagh go, but if we can get him back, it's not a bad thing. Like, it doesn't mean I have to admit my failure in the past. I'm just trying to get better now. And I think often, like, individuals,
it was all human cap nature, related, though. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, but often human nature, you're like, I don't want to do that. I've made the move. I'm moving on. I'm looking at somebody else. But the ones you know, sometimes you know them best, and Tampa is in there and doing well. But do you think, like, I look at Tampa, and they're going to have to play Vasilevskiy 95% of the games down the stretch. Like, is Tampa the type of team that maybe calls Calgary and says, maybe we need Vladar as a backup, or we need, like, somebody to come in and help the backup position, because they can't just run Vasilevskiy into the ground at the end of the year.
Yeah. Well, to your first point, sometimes it's good for a general manager to know and go back to a familiar face, right? For some GMs, it works. When Lou Lamoriello does it, I roll my eyes because that's all he does.
Well, he picked Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck and Casey Tsitsikas, and, like, that's why.
Palmieri and guys like that. Was it Zajac a while ago? I don't even remember.
It's been
that's just his thing. And Stan Bowman, like Brandon Saad and everything like that, the reacquiring players. But some general managers have a point when they do it, and Brisebois definitely is. I do think they need a backup goalie. That's for sure right there, because we're seeing a lot of teams go away from that, you know, really heavy duty workload, and for good reason, right? Look at Connor Hellebuck. He is the prime example of that. He gets run into the ground every regular season, and then he turns into a pumpkin in the postseason. You have to think the usage is part of it, because they just over rely on him. And while Vasilevsky's been able to shoulder that before, you don't want to risk it, right? Especially after last year. Like, I would want it that he's fresh for the playoffs, because ideally you're going four rounds with him and you know he's playing every single game, and he is your best chance of winning. Look at his record in, you know, elimination games. He's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Sabres Leafs tonight. Marty, you want to give any gifts out to anybody for their work right now around the league?
Well, you mean because of Matt Murray's going to start tonight? Is that what you're talking about?
To my point, like, I started by saying nice things about Brisebois. Are you even on the show right now?
I am, but I'm like,
pay attention, man.
Listen, if we're two questions removed from the original conversation, I moved on.
Shayna was following along.
I'm moving on to something else. I'm a big rule follower over here.
Okay. If anyone wants to describe me as anything, it's that.
I'll be over here eating cookies and milk. You guys just go on.
By the way, I got some South African chocolates I was gifted when my daughter came back. So I haven't hit them yet. I may start before the end of the show. Okay, Shayna, I mentioned the Sabres have given up a ton of goals of late. 6, 5, 4, 3, 5, 6. Like, it's just, and the league, the average goals per game is dropping this year. It's at 3.3 right now. It's at 3.03, I should say. It was 3.08 last year, 3.14 the year before. It's dropping. Is this a turn to the defend? Or, as we pointed out, Tampa, the only team averaging 4, it's you can still outscore your problems, something the Sabres did 2 years ago but can't do now.
Yeah, some teams are doing that, right? Like, Edmonton is the prime example of that, because Stuart Skinner, like, you don't know what you're getting every game. He put up, you know, like, I think it was like 7 of his last 9 were quality starts, but the ones that are bad are such stinkers that you're like, oh my goodness, you have to outscore your problems. And Colorado was playing that way too. it's tough to know the trends with offensive creation. There's like one thing that stands out to me, like looking year to year to year, is that like the tracking is different. It's not manually being tracked. It's with the chip. So we don't know why things are looking a little bit different. I remember last year in the early goings of the season, it was like, oh, our team's not getting to the middle of the ice. And it's like, well, we really don't know that answer because it could just be as simple as things are being tracked differently and more accurately. So it's tough to put that there. But I think, you know, save percentages being down, I wonder too, like, are teams like leaning on starters too much? And then we're seeing the effects of it afterwards. Cause I feel like we've seen that a little bit recently too, right? Like these guys are starting these massive workloads and then they stumble into the next year. And it's like, did you just get too overused the year before and it's hurting you the next year and it's taking you longer to get into form? Like, we don't know enough about goalies. So it's hard to say.
Well, the shots, I think shots for, shots against are lower this year. And a lot of that is the audit that the league does after every period, after every game. And, you know, Duffer laughs. He says, unofficially, the shots were 13-11. The second period starts and the shots are 10-9. You're like, oh, they took down four or five shots. So that's affecting the save percentage. But I just feel like games are tighter now. 2-1, 3-1, going late into the game. Like, I feel like we're seeing a lot more of that. I don't know, Duffer, you watch a lot of hockey too. Like, last night, there was a lot of tight games.
There were, and then honestly, Mackenzie Blackwood deserves a little shout out. He was really good for Colorado.
That was such a good game too.
Yeah, it was such, it's getting harder and harder to watch these painful results for San Jose. You know, they're in these games and they keep finding ways to lose them in regulation, which is heartbreaking for their efforts. But there was no question who was the better netminder last night. It was Blackwood as opposed to Georgiev. But that being said, like, Macklin Celebrini is this close to like being on everyone's tip of their tongue the morning after. For like, he is so close to changing every single game. He's got a lethal shot. He's got the off-wing one-timer. Like, it, I am so impressed. I don't know, maybe I just kept the bar super low as far as expectations, but he has been absolutely my new player to watch in the NHL this year. It's been super fun. But you can't overlook what Linus Ullmark has done here lately.
Quickly, on Celebrini, though, Shayna, because you mentioned Jeff Merrick earlier, he went out on a limb and said, Celebrini, way better than Connor Bedard. He even asked the question, who is the best number one overall pick before Celebrini? Like, how far do you have to go back to look at who's the best number one overall? And then Greg Wyshynski was like, Connor Bedard, but he don't know. No, Celebrini's better than Bedard. Is he better than Bedard?
So it's actually kind of funny because I was talking yesterday to my editor planning stories and I want to write on Celebrini. I'm going to in mid-January. I'm so excited for that to do a breakdown. And it's like, well, you could go, you know, the big headline, is it Celebrini versus Bedard? And I was like, I don't want to touch that one because it's honestly hard to say because I think you look at two different team strategies, especially year one of their careers. The Blackhawks gave him Taylor Hall, who ended up being hurt all year. He was playing with Nick Foligno. He didn't have the support he needed. And sometimes, like, yes, you're this elite player coming into the league, this franchise cornerstone. You should be able to change things. Snap your fingers and change things. And I understand that expectation. We get spoiled by guys like Matthews and McDavid who do that. But, you know, when you're joining such a bad situation, it's even harder to do it, right? And then they don't get him enough support. And then this year you look at it and it's like, well, they brought in Tyler Bertuzzi and this player and that. Before the coaching change, Tyler Bertuzzi and Connor Bedard only played 15% of their 5-on-5 ice time together. That you're going, well, who's he playing with versus the Sharks who have that support? Guys like Toffoli and Granlund's been really good. They've added veteran players and they have that up and coming cast too with guys like Will Smith. And in the early goings, he got hurt and the team had to figure out how to play without him. And they got really good and really interesting that when he joined back, I feel like he just joined a better system versus the Blackhawks sinking ship. So I have a hard time making that decision right now because I think that they're being utilized a little bit differently.
Hawks are on the way up right now. They have won 3 in a row. A lot of teams trending in that direction. Obviously, Ottawa is one of them. Pittsburgh is one of them. Another 4-point game for Crosby last night. That's the 41st time that's happened in his career. They're 7-2-1 in the last 10. You guys have gone 13 minutes without mentioning Utah when the door was wide open to do so. They are 7-1-2 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row. They're becoming one of my most watched teams, too.
Right. And the first, like, what, 2 weeks of the season, I was glued to them. And then, you know, it kind of fell apart. And you saw games what was it, last week, 2 weeks ago, they played Minnesota and they were in it until they weren't. And then it was really exciting third period and they still lost and Marco Rossi was the hero. But there are encouraging signs there. And one, they're getting reliable goaltending from Vemelka, which is great and wonderful and what you need. That's your foundation. There's a lot of injuries, but I think Sergachev looks like a true number one. And the two standout players for me above all else, well, no, three, because Clayton Keller. But besides the point, we know he's good. We know he's consistent. We know he can be good on a bad team. It's Cooley and Gunther. And I think you're seeing the star power emerge. And with Gunther, you saw it in the beginning of the year, and then maybe you got a little worried. But it's like, no, it's back in full force. And I think Cooley's 200-foot game is improving so much, too.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but Rasmus Dahlin is coming back tonight. Can he alone change what's happened in 0-8-3 in the last 11 for the Sabres?
Do you want an honest answer?
Yes, that's why we have you.
No, I think they are so down bad that one player is not going to make a difference. But if he can have a trickle-down effect on everybody else, if they start raising their game, yes, it's going to slot everyone on the blue line in more appropriate positions. But if he can just get the energy going, maybe players can, you know, pick up the pace. I don't think he can do it alone. I think this team needs serious help just getting it together. And hey, it works that the Leafs haven't been playing as well. Like this is an opening. I felt like the Rangers was this opportunity. The Leafs are that because they're winning games they don't deserve to, but Stolarz was saving them. Now you don't have Stolarz. You have Wohl, who you don't want to run into the ground.
Matt Murray.
Exactly. That it's like, okay, this is your chance. Maybe with Matt Murray and net, they'll play differently, right? Because they don't have that security of Stolarz. And they'll think we have to play tighter defensively and we have to pick up the pace offensively. But like, this is an opportunity.
Three games. 4 days, big opportunity for Buffalo to have us having a different discussion when we talk next week. Happy holidays, Shayna. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
There she is, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. We're back after this on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres Leafs here tonight on WGR Sports Radio 550, and it's also broadcast nationally on ESPN and ESPN Plus.
ESPN Plus and Hulu.
I will be in Rochester for the Amerks game, working alongside Don Stevens, my first cameo with Don, the Hall of Famer, this year. So very much looking forward to that. And I got a bonus from Coach Michael Leone. He's presenting a full Amerks lineup, which includes Consta Hellenius, Noah Ostlin, Anton Wahlberg, Tyson Kozak's a game-time decision, but we're expecting him to go. It will look unlike any Amerks roster that we have seen since basically week two of the season. So really excited to see everyone in place. And remember, this is short-term because Hellenius and Wahlberg are next week to
World Juniors.
Right, they head to the World Juniors. So they've got tonight. And then they've got a big game Sunday in Cleveland before the roster gets tweaked again.
And Devin Levi starting for the Rochester Americans tonight. So that's another one, the full lineup with Levi as well. So that's good. For the Sabres, we talked about Rasmus Dahlin coming back. Jordan Greenway is out long-term with a surgery to his mid-body injury. So they said they anticipated him to come back this year, but that, to me, sounds more like late March and early April, maybe. We'll see. And Ryan McLeod's a game-time decision. Now, I think, like, so Sam Lafferty is expected to come back to the lineup. So if McLeod comes back, I think we're going to see Obi Kubel out with Krebs coming back to the middle at the bottom. If McLeod's not there, we're going to see Malenstein, Lafferty, and Obi Kubel in the fourth line. But it's not about them. It's about the top six, where you have Zucker, Thompson, Tuck, Quinn, Paterka, and Cousins. That's who has to perform against the Leafs.
Two or more points for Rasmus Dahlin in his return?
I'll say two. Power play assist and a goal later in the game.
All right. Big weekend. They're in Boston tomorrow and then Island on Monday. Enjoy, folks. We'll see you soon.